Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all the pitter-patter of all the little feet running right now, God. Thank you for the children, Lord. I really do. You care so much for each one. I pray you bless them, God, this morning as they go to junior church. God, would they know your love in a special way? And God, I pray for us, Lord. We're your children too. God, may we know your love in a special way this morning. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was mentioning, we just came out of a week of prayer and fasting, and I just want to bring up a calendar I've used a couple times just to kind of show where we've been. So 2 weeks ago, we were preparing our hearts for just getting ready for a week of prayer and fasting. Talked about prayer and fasting last week, and we had a week of prayer, and for those who those who weren't able to make it, we had a wonderful time this past Thursday. We had a corporate prayer meeting, and it was just great. We had a large amount of people come out and just get to pray, listen to what God's doing, and share. And it was just a powerful time, and getting to hear just testimonies of what God's doing, and just there seems to be a level, I think of a water level rising spiritually. Feels like a culture change shift, like Christ, Holy Spirit influx that I keep noticing in prayer meetings. We had a pastors and wife gathering, fellowship food and prayer time yesterday, and just energy, excitement that's organically from the Holy Spirit. You can emotionally get a bunch of people together and get them charged up for something, but this seems much more like something that God's breathing, like a fresh breath. With the Bible sometimes, and here in a church culture, reviving or revival, and I'm excited. Anyone else excited? Because I don't know, when more people, yeah, we can give God the glory. Yeah, prayer is usually the hardest thing I find to get people to go to, even myself. But when there's such an attraction to just being close to God, just I want to gather. And I was mentioning this on the Thursday prayer meeting. I heard it once in a sermon that someone reviewed the New Testament works of God and the church and the new early church. And every significant move of the church was always linked directly to a prayer meeting. And I'm just that's really cool. It's when people gather, men and women gathered for prayer and humbled themselves and united in Christ and in his love and listened to King Jesus and his orders and his commission and his goals. Great things were happening. So just excited for what God's going to do here as we gather in prayer. So I want to just share briefly a shorter message about actually our vision statement, our vision, our goal, and some specifics for 2017 coming from the pastors here at New Hope Community Church. So I titled this morning's message, Growing Together, and we're just looking at two verses, some side verses too, but two main verses found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 29, growing together. It's possible to have growth. I was thinking that's not wanted nor desired. I remember in high school, I got this wart that was growing on my thumb, and I got a couple photos. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to show you that. But I did have a wart, and it was a growth I did not want. I mean, duct tape, freezing it, whatever. I was trying to get rid of this growth. Sometimes we can get growth that isn't great even in relationships, growing apart from friends or family. We're like, we don't want that kind of growth. We want to talk about growth that we're growing closer to together towards maturity in Christ, which is our vision statement. Let's read this together. Growing together towards maturity in Christ. And I'm hoping to break down the two verses that we base our vision statement off and pray that it would be more than just something on a PowerPoint or a cool, sign in the lobby, but something that's really happening inside of our lives. And the neat thing is I'm going to talk about growing towards maturity in Christ, but then we're going to have an example to hear testimonies of us growing towards maturity in Christ. So I'm really excited about the testimonies. They just get me pumped up to see what God's doing in our body. So let's look at the passage. It's only two verses. Apostle Paul's writing a letter to the church at Colossae. He's the one that is speaking, and he's just been talking about Christ. So we'll just jump into those two verses this morning. This is what Paul says. Him, referring to Jesus Christ, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And we're just going to look at this verse a little bit more this morning, kind of taking it in little chunks. And so let's start off with the first little piece this morning. So I want to talk about the first three words in this passage. Paul says, him, referring to Christ, we proclaim. I love how Paul is sharing. He's the one that's been proclaiming Christ and writing the letter, but he reaches out in a very, hey, this is what we're doing together. You see, we use twice in this first verse, and it's Christ we proclaim. You can get a bunch of people together and have it very much not about Christ. There's a lot of people that gather and do bad things and do good things and mediocre things. But Paul's saying, we are proclaiming Christ. There's a tremendous power when people unite on a common purpose. And we want to be uniting on a common purpose for the purposes of Christ. As I was thinking about this, there's a passage in the Old Testament in Genesis, which talked about a bunch of people coming together and doing something incredible, but not for God. I wanted to share that with you. It's from Genesis 11, verses 4 to 6. It says, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is the only beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. It's interesting to see the power of unity coming together as one. And as if you know the story, Tower of Babel, it's just a couple of verses later, God disperses all these different languages and they're no longer able to work together. Their purpose was not for God. It says in here, let us come and make a name for ourselves. Exactly. So we have to be careful. It's easy to do that. There's a sin nature. There's pride, selfishness that says, make it all about me. Make it about us. But as Paul's proclaiming, we proclaim Christ. We make it all about him because he gave everything for us. But there is a tremendous power of unity and even God saying nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. So we want to unite in the purposes of Christ, to proclaim Christ. Paul shares this proclamation or preaching is accompanied with some other components. It comes along with warning. Some translations it says counseling and teaching. And Paul is hitting on the thing that Christ has come as a savior for sinners. And that is a message for those who don't know Jesus Christ. There is a warning, there is a counseling there to repent and know the forgiveness, the salvation of Jesus Christ. But it also comes with the teaching, that the warning and the teaching would be done with great wisdom. Our Lord and Savior, and I love the opening song, Lord and Savior and King Jesus, has called us out to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded us to do. And we want to be about that. We want to teach the whole gospel. It's easy in our culture nowadays just to water down the gospel. Like, sin's not really an issue. We don't really need to let people know that. The love of God is all we really need, but we want to preach the love of God with the holiness of God. And we want to make disciples. This is only possible through relationships. Discipleship making doesn't happen without the relationship component. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And we want to be part of that, not just for the Church of Colossae, but for New Hope Community Church in 2017. So you see this, we, let's do this together. Let's proclaim Christ. Let's live Christ. Let's preach Christ. And I think a great way to do that is start with ourselves every day. So that way we can get it in us and we can share it to others. It's a key. That way we can live what we're saying and living to others. Now the audience is quite broad, and you probably might already notice reading this passage that there's a word that's used three times in the first verse. And I'm just going to highlight that this morning. We're preaching, proclaiming Christ to everyone, everyone, and everyone. Warning everyone, teaching everyone, present everyone. And as we're doing that as a church, we want to remember that God's love, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is for everyone. No exceptions. And it's easy to talk about that, I realize, right now. It's like, oh yeah, sure, everyone. But then sometimes we think of, well, maybe not that one person, you know, I don't like. Or there's a people group that I'm kind of kind of like making fun of, and I don't really think the love of Christ is for them. And then we start trying to make limitations. But Paul's saying it is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. The young, the old, men and women, the poor, the rich, educated, uneducated. If you're in America or you live on the other side of the country and everything in between, everyone. Our friends, our enemies, those we hate, we're supposed to pray for, bless, love. That's what Jesus called us out to do. It's for everyone. And I'm sure some of you are like, well, I'm not buying in yet. Well, I just decided, why not go a little bit deeper then? So if you want to see something that's probably not necessary, but just for fun, I looked in the Greek, the original language, what does it actually mean? So it's made up of two words, everyone. Every is the pos, and then anthropos is man. But that version of man literally means every man and woman, every person. It's for every single person. So here this morning, if you're thinking like, oh, there's a person coming to mind that I do not want to share the gospel with, I want to encourage you, that's a good place to ask the Holy Spirit, help me, Lord, because your gospel is for everyone. If there's a people group that you find that maybe it's easy to make fun of or just feel like I want to ignore, help me, Lord. I need that kind of love. The gospel's for everyone. Lord, I want to be able to pray. I want to be able to share Christ with everyone. Our vision statement is growing, which implies a process towards maturity in Christ. And that's the next thing I want to hit on, is being mature in Christ. This is Paul's goal, and this is our goal too. Perfection, some say perfect, present perfect in Christ. Perfection in Christ will only come when we're with Jesus. We're in a process. We know Jesus Christ, and he has saved us from our sins. The Bible says we are justified completely before God because of what he's done on the cross has been literally given to us. But we're in a process of looking more like Jesus, which is such a good reminder. It's a really good reminder for me, I'm sure for us too. None of us are perfect. So if you don't have to beat yourself up because you're not perfect, you're just realizing you need the grace of God every day. But then also we don't judge one another, holding them to perfection, even though we don't live it ourselves. Perfection comes when we're in heaven. But we want to grow to maturity, having the faith and character and looking like the person of Jesus Christ. Paul shared the same message or similar message to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4:13. He says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's a process, but this is our goal. It's really good to have a goal. What are you growing towards? What is your day? What is your week? What is your year? What's your big desire to grow towards? Here at New Community Church, this is our goal, and it will keep being our goal. And we want to have this be something we share and live and remind one another, but also that, Lord, would you transform us? It's a process. This past week, I was over at SUNY Canton on Thursday, and I was meeting with some students and just brainstorming, praying about some creative ways to reach people with the love of Jesus at SUNY Canton. And some of the students had some cool ideas, and we're talking, it was exciting. I remember I was leaving the library there, if you're a SUNY Canton student, you know where that is, and I was going through a building called Neville Dine. As I was going through, there's a student tabling, he was at a table and promoting something. And this is an example of a moment that was missed, which I'm praying that I won't miss next time. But it's a process, we're all growing. And so I was walking by, I felt like the Holy Spirit, as I was spending more time in prayer and fasting, I was getting more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I could hear like whispers just on the go and fly. And so like we just talked about reaching a whole campus with the love of Jesus. I was really excited about that. And then I walked by this table and God's like, go over to that person, tell them I love them. I'm like, I'm like, no, we talked about loving the people with Jesus. I didn't say that'd be me, like right now. Like I gotta get to Potsdam in 25 minutes. I was like, And so yeah, I was having this debate. I was walking down the hall. I don't know if you've ever been in this place before, but I just knew, like, it was a word, like, just go tell him I love. Like, tell him I love. That's all you have to say, literally. God loves you. Three words. And then in that moment, I was just like, I don't think it's the right time. Or, I don't know, just, he seems so busy with the table. You know, a lot of good excuses for why he doesn't need to hear a message that the Holy Spirit told me in that moment to give at the exact time. And that's a growing moment. So I realized as I got in my minivans heading back, I was like, Lord, I blew that. I blew that opportunity. You say to make the most of every opportunity, and I just denied an opportunity. So I asked for forgiveness from the Lord. I'm like, God, I don't want to repeat that, Lord. If there's another opportunity when I'm walking around, you know, in a store or just, you know, at a school, Lord, help me to respond and obedience. And I just share that as an example for me growing, because we're in the process of growing. And that's something that I hope is an encouragement. If you falter or fall or have something that's like, oh, it's like I messed up, go to Christ. I encourage you, make it right, ask for forgiveness, but move forward. We're in this process. Keep going. Keep looking to become more mature in Christ. And God, he's such a good dad. He'll work with you in such a personal and relational way. But we want to grow in this process towards maturity in Christ. So Paul lived his whole life once he came to his new life in Christ for Jesus. And he had a really, really hard life. If you ever read what Paul went through, he had a really difficult life of being beaten up and almost stoned to death and being shipwrecked twice. And just you look at that, it's like, I don't think anyone's like, oh, sign me up for that. It's like shipwreck 3 times, put that on there, you know, twice is not enough. Paul had a really hard life sharing Christ, but man, he was propelled. Even in the difficulties, he would not slow down. He would not give up. He kept pushing forward. And verse 29 really, I believe, hits on how is Paul able to do things that just seem above, you know, what normal people could do. Paul says this, which we already read, but I'll bring it back up. It says, for this I toil, what he just said, this is what I toil, struggling with all his energy, referring to God's energy that he powerfully works within me. That word struggling is like an athletic kind of struggle, is used in like athletic arenas. And I don't know if we have any Patriots or Falcon fans, or if no one's watching TV next week, I don't know. But if someone's running with a football and they're going to try to get a touchdown, and they're running with all their might, there's a bunch of big dudes looking to crush that guy as fast as they can. But this idea of just struggling with all the energy you got, not looking at the fans that are booing you or the fans that encourage you or people that are going to crush you, but keeping the eyes focused on the prize, on the goal, giving everything you got. Paul has that focus, but unlike a football player just doing all the natural ability, he's able to do it on a supernatural ability. He's able to do it not on his energy, but the energy of the Holy Spirit that's working, the power of the Holy Spirit that's working within him. In Romans 8:11, a verse that came alive to me when I was at Bible school in a really powerful way, I want to share with you. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. It's amazing to think, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, this is saying that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, our Lord and Savior, the scripture is saying dwells inside of you and me. The same one, not a lower, lesser version, or maybe there's some angel that's helping out. The same spirit. If you have the spirit, if I have the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, then what's going to be too hard for us to accomplish if God's asking us to do it? I really wish I went to this scripture when I was at SUNY Canton on Thursday, because I'm like, I'm too scared, too fearful. Man, I got the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Holy Spirit, would you give me the courage and the boldness to share a message of love with this guy at the table? And as you're in a place, and we've been really focusing on building healthy relationships and forgiveness and moving, sometimes it can be really scary. We even have an example of that last night at our Saturday service of someone just struggling with feeling nervous, but making that step. I would encourage you, remember, you don't do it alone. What God's calling you and I to do together as one, as a body of Christ, we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Anytime we try to go out solo or do it without him, we'll eventually falter, fail, get discouraged, sin out, bail out. But if we can remember, Holy Spirit, you're inside of me. Christ is inside of me. God is with me. I'm never alone. Lord, you'll give me everything I need. And Paul knew that in a powerful way, in a way that was a great example. And even if you look at Jesus to see what he was accomplishing, absolutely incredible. So I wanted to share these things this morning, that we want to grow together. And maybe you're here and it's like, well, I can do my walk with the Lord separately. Yeah, in some ways, you can come to know Jesus Christ separately. Sure, it's not through a parent, it's not through a pastor. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He works directly with children. So yes, he works great with you in a personal way. But God has also called us to gather together as a body of Christ. And so I would encourage you, if you're like, I don't like to be part of the body beyond a weekend service, I don't like the idea of being a part of maybe a gathering during the week to do life together, I would encourage you, the Bible makes it really clear that we need one another. I need you. You need me. You need the person right next to you. We need one another. So if you're feeling like I'm just going to purposely exclude myself from working together as one, I would encourage you to ask God, Lord, maybe I need to do some rearranging. Or maybe we've excluded other people from who we think can be part of the body. Just kind of like the eye saying to the hand, I don't need you, or you're not wanted. We don't want to do that to one another in the body of Christ. We need each other. There is one head, and that's Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would just encourage you, we need each other. What God has for us is too big. It's too expansive. There's a lot of people involved that we can't do it alone. We need to work together. The one thing that keeps us together is the byproduct. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one of them is love. And love is like the glue that holds us together, the love of Jesus. From God, it's not of us, it's from God, but that we can share with one another. Now, sharing this last night, but I feel as we pull away and spend time in prayer and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, that God can fill us overflowing with the love of Jesus. I got a picture of a well that's like kind of working more like a geyser, but the water's actually just running up and over the well. And I believe that's what God, he has unlimited love for you, and God wants to satisfy you, refresh you, nurture you, grow you, but he has way more than just enough for you. He wants to work through you, that you can just splash and just share the love of God. It's not like you have to run on E. You can actually overflow. I'm just praying for that kind of love. So if you're here this morning, you're like, man, I want to reach out, I want to care, but I got nothing. I'm just running on E. Know that the Lord can fill you even this morning through the power of his Holy Spirit. So I want us to read, once again, our vision statement, and then share a little bit about what we'll be focusing on this year. So let's read this together. Growing together towards maturity in Christ. This is our vision. This is the vision that God gave Paul, and we're praying, Lord, may this be more than just a vision on the wall. May this be a reality in our heart. And this year, as we're growing together, focus at the four pastors here as we were praying. We're just like, one day we're like, what Lord do you want us to focus on? We're thinking about it and just writing different stuff down. We all focused on the same thing when we shared. It was just growing in healthy and authentic community and real relationships with one another inside the body and outside the church body. Because we want to be healthy. We want to be whole. We want to be filled with God's love overflowing. And sometimes there can be, you know, broken relationships, old resentment, bitterness, hurt, anger, that keeps us away from one another. But Lord, as you heal us and move in us, Lord, we want to overflow with that kind of new life, that new love. So we want to look at a series that focuses on relationships. So a couple ways we'll be doing this is we want to talk about it. We'll be preaching quite a few messages on relationships, relationship with God and one another, ways we can grow. We've been looking just recently at a leadership weekend, just empowering one another as leaders. How can we build up and add value to one another? And we're praying that culture would just overflow. Looking at intentionally just building up our current home groups or small groups during the week, but also starting new ones. We would love to see the majority of those who attend here on a weekly basis be able to be involved in a life group, a community group, a gathering, a smaller group during the week to do life together. In those places, you can build friendships. In those places, you can encourage one another, be accountable to one another, pray for one another, rejoice when other people are really excited and rejoicing, and mourn when people are really mourning and having a hard time. Maybe if one of us gets off, going over to them and gently instructing them that they would come back to know the truth and the holiness and love of Jesus Christ. So we really wanted to grow together in that place of home groups and gathering during the week in some practical ways. What we're calling this message or this sermon series, which Scott will be starting next week, is Real Relationships. I think it's funny, but Pursuing Authentic Community. That's what we're looking at, and we'll be focusing on real relationships and what would that look like here in each one of our lives as we're going in the year 2017. So I just want to pray, and then I'm going to transition to a time of testimonies from the week of prayer and this week. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for just the amazing love we can experience in your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that your love would just continually overflow. God, thank you for the testimonies that have been shared during the week and the ones that haven't been shared yet. God, it's just so exciting. You're just awesome, God. And Lord, as we go to a time of sharing testimonies, I pray that we just be encouraged and built up and grow closer together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to transition now to a time of testimonies from the week of prayer. And the way we're going to do this is we have two runners with mics, and I would encourage you, if you have something, maybe you wrote something out, or you got scripture or prayer, or just a thought you want to share, I encourage you to do that. I just encourage you to be mindful, even though you have a mic, so that they'll be able to amplify your voice. Just be mindful how long you're sharing. We would love if several people could share, so just to be considerate. If you have something really, really long, like several minutes long or something, then yeah, we might be able to like put that like in the New Hope News or something, but we would love to hear what God has been doing in your life. And you can just slip up your hand. Scott has a mic, and I think Glenn has a mic too, and so they'll be on either side. So you can just raise your hand, and we're just going to have a time just to be blessed and edified by one another. Sound good? All right. So yeah, feel free just to raise your hand, and we'll bring the mic over to you, and love to hear how God's been working in your life this past week.
My name's Joe, and I just would like to say me and my wife have been pretty involved with what the church has to offer for like Alpha and Sunday services and Thursday morning men's prayer. And in this last week with the prayer and fasting week, my wife, she went without sugar like all week and no candy bars. I had bought these little gummy sour worms. Nope, she wouldn't have them, so I'm sitting there popping them in my mouth, watching the movies, chomping on them. She's going, oh man, I could just tell she wanted them. But she stuck to her guns and was able to complete it and have her prayers answered. And one of mine was with I've been walking in unforgiveness was revealed to me, and like a spirit of unforgiveness just like all the time. And I was kind of like scratching my head, Lord, how am I even gonna go at this thing? I'm just so, it's so dominant, how would I even undo such a thing? And all the people that I've had this little bit of unforgiveness towards, and he just kind of like spoke to my heart and just said, he identified it through what we talked about, that I have I set up a condition like ahead of time of how I want to be treated or responded to. And if that's not met, then I instantly have this little bit of anger, a little bit of unforgiveness. And then, but I don't consider it much at the time. And then it just grows. But through the prayer and fasting, I just realized that I have this thing. And, but God reassured me, I'm forgiven. Don't worry about it. He's on, he's the counselor, and he's going to schedule it out so I can make those things right as I go. I don't have to be in a big fat hurry to try to undo all that I've done, and I'm not like forsaken until it happens. So it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. Great. Yeah, others. Ways God's been just growing you this past week.
Hello. Something that I have noticed that as you get on a little bit in age, not being able to depend on your body and things like that that you would normally just think, time to go and do, and well, not everybody shows up. Anyway, but something that I felt the Lord was telling me was that I am all that you need for the rest of your life. Mm. I have always been all you needed. Your eyes are now open. Just wait to see me in all of your life. You will be able to share what I am doing in your life.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks, Marie.
I think I'm going to piggyback off that. I was using the prayer guide that was given to us last week, and one of the mornings, we were just being invited to talk to the Lord about our needs. And so as I was reflecting on that, I got out my prayer journal, and boy, I was about to tell God all of my needs. And I thought that I knew exactly how that first paragraph was going to be written. Just a long list of needs. And I wrote the first sentence, and it's like, that's not what I was planning on writing. And it was like the Holy Spirit just sort of took over. It was really awesome. And what I ended up writing, and then I ended up praying, was an acknowledgement that really I didn't need anything but just more of God. Just what Marie was testifying to. And that as I was emptying myself of, you know, food or whatever, I just needed more of God to fill me up. And it was just such a powerful experience for me, and then a powerful opportunity for me to pray that for this body. So it was an awesome moment.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Glenn. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. Great. Yeah, others.
Well, when the elders decided that we would have a week of prayer and fasting, inside I went, oh. I honestly have not fasted for a number of years, because when I did it before, all I did was get hungry, and nothing spiritually really happened. And so why bother? And I remember thinking that very thing and saying, okay, I didn't exactly pray, but I was just saying, well, it hasn't borne any fruit before, but we'll give it a try again. And I was very delighted that just about every night, in the middle of the night, I'd wake up and the Lord would give me some words of knowledge. And a word of knowledge is knowing something that you wouldn't know otherwise. And this was about some people, aspects of understanding where people were coming from, so that I would really know how to relate to them. And it was very helpful in that. And I won't share details on that because it's personal. But God showed me what was going on inside of some people. And he also gave me some clear direction in ministry, some new stuff, which I'll share another time. And he opened up some scriptures to me, which, you know, it was like, man, I've preached those lots of times and used them, and all of a sudden, I gained a whole bunch of new insights into some scripture that were really, really helpful. So it was a very profitable time. I may even do it again. I'm sure I will. What I did was I gave up breakfast. That is a sacrifice.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Sounds very fruitful.
Well, I wasn't really going to share this morning, but I will, because I think God wants me to. And this morning I woke up and I was singing, He's all you need. But I was singing to somebody else about Jesus, that he's all you need. And so this word need has been floating around this morning. And what God has been saying to me is like, your need is well filled, and you have a full well, and you need to pour out what I've given you. You need to think of the other people around you. You need to not just be thinking about your need. You need to get out there and to really be more intentional in praying for others. And so I'm excited that God, you know, corrected me on that, and I'm ready to do it.
Amen. Thanks, Shane. Yeah.
I was thinking that sometimes we feel like we have to apologize for things that God placed inside of us, or that we sound like a broken record because we're saying the same thing over and over and over again. But I've come to realize that I need to stop apologizing, you know, because when I talk about the power of God's love, I feel as though, you know, people's eyes glaze over because, oh, God's love, you know. But what I realize is that I think our, when we think about love, we think that it's some, you know, sweet little thing, Cupid with the arrow. But God, he sent his son to die on the cross. And I've been thinking about the fact that when Jesus was stretched out on the cross, that was the depth of the love that he has for us. And there is such power in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that type of love where you lay down your life for someone, there's nothing weak about that. And so I decided this week, because I noticed everything that I wrote that I was going to read just now, it goes back to the power of his love. And it's like, you know, I don't care if I sound like a broken record, because someday someone here will get the, you know, they will get the realization. They'll have that encounter with the one who loves them and knows every single thing there is to know about them. So when you think about love, don't think of it as something that is weak or like Cupid with the arrow. Think about this. You know, just think about that's how much God loves, Jesus loves. So that's a powerful love. And he changed the world with his love. He loved us so much. So I'm not going to apologize anymore about talking about the power of God's love. That was my revelation.
Right on. Thank you, Laurel.
One of the things that I liked about this challenge for the week is that there were many different flavors of how you could do that. And I had read a book on fasting, which was recommended by a ladies' retreat speaker, Carol McLeod. But I hadn't yet gotten to that place of being ready to try and do that. So for me, I tend to really like electronics for entertainment, for organizing, and having everything on the phone is just really helpful. And when Jim was talking about how many times you get interrupted within a day with alerts and this and that and the other, I was like, okay. So I deleted Facebook from my phone temporarily. I do plan on putting it back, but I wanted to see what it was like for the week not having those all of those alerts about everything that was really important that was going on. And I deleted Netflix from my phone because I found that I was enjoying doing that when I was cleaning, you know, doing something good, having a little bit of entertainment, but I was also really grouchy with my kids every time they interrupted me. So I did that for the week and tried to take the time in the evenings to pray and journal. It's been a while since I've journaled. And I was surprisingly less anxious this week than I've been in a while. And I've had some face-to-face conversations and fellowship that has been, I think, deeper and richer than I had before. And I also realized, I mean, you don't say that you get your worth from how people react to you on social media, but that's part of the draw of social media is it's relational. I'm a relational person. I like to know what's going on, and it's fun when they relate back to me, but it's not as deep as the face-to-face, so... Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to find a better balance, but continue some of that prayer journaling and try not to give in to that desire as much, I guess. Yeah. It's fun as long as it's balanced.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. It's great.
I did fast from not listening to the secular radio everywhere we went, like just throughout the week. I just went without that, and I probably shouldn't be listening to a lot of it anyways, but that was my fast, and I didn't mention that before.
All right, good. Cool. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah.
Yep. Hi. I actually can't really believe that I'm doing this right now, but last week at church, I just, like, kind of got a name in my head of something that I needed to try to work towards for the week, and it was one of my family members' names. And after the service, I ended up texting, like, my family group chat that we all kind of have been super distant from each other, and our relationships have kind of been, like, broken, And it's kind of through religion that it's been happening. So I reached out to everybody, and coming from me, it made everybody's eyes kind of open. And it was really like, oh dang, I don't know what's happening with this. It was really special to see all of us kind of reaching out to each other individually. And I can see, like, my mom ended up talking to her sisters, and they spent hours on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I can just see how we're getting closer. And this week was really special, and I think it really brought me to it. So. That's
great. Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. That's great. Any others? Just ways God's been working, and I think it's Allison.
I think it was on the day that it said pray for God's kingdom. I just felt I'd been very unhappy with the outcome of the election, and the Lord just said, "You need to pray for our president," which I had been not really wanting to do, because I didn't really. Yeah, but anyway. I did, and so that's an outcome of this fast.
Awesome. Thanks, Allison. That's great. Oh, right up here. Thanks, Glenn, for jogging.
It's sort of a three-week culmination. So I think it was 3 weeks ago or so that Karen preached about chair time. And I am terrible at that. But I'm not anymore. And I didn't like the process. And I didn't want to do it. And it made me tired. And I didn't really like it. But I loved the product of it. And God has really given me so much out of the time that I have spent just reading his word. And that's really all I've done in my chair time is read his word. I haven't changed much else but read. And I started keeping notes on what I was reading, and I looked back, and I spent 2 weeks on one chapter of the Bible, because there was so much in that one chapter for me. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful, and I've not had that, and it was such a gift. And then this week was really a very rough, busy week, which just happens. And I missed chair time because I overslept. And I was so tired that I could not physically wake up. And it was funny because I sat down to eat breakfast, and a little bit like Adrian, I wouldn't let my kids talk to me because I had this thing that God had put in my mind the day before that I was going to do during chair time the next day, and I wanted to do it. And my testimony is that God put the desire in me to want to do that and not just let it go for the day. Yep. And that, for me, that's huge because I have a lot of things in my life, and for him to put that overwhelming desire in me was a great gift. One of the things I've been reading in Ephesians is that he put a huge deposit in us. Mm-hmm. And it's a deposit on our inheritance. And a deposit is only a small piece of the whole. And so if he's put a deposit in us that makes me feel this strongly, that I need to study him and know him, then our inheritance is huge. Mm. And we need to recognize the weight and the wealth of that deposit.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for sharing. That's great. Anyone else? We're going to be moving to a time of family communion in a moment, but sometimes you're just like, I've been waiting and want to be the last one to go. I just want to make sure. Is anyone else that's like, oh, I really had something I wanted to share? Yeah, Jill. We'll get a mic right over. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, make room.
Well, this week of fasting for me has really renewed my passion. Because it also was a week where I had to write my annual report, and what is my passion for the women's ministry here? What is my passion for everything? And so I fasted from a couple of different things, but one of the big things that my kids said, Mom, you need to fast from this, is I do puzzles on the computer, and so it's my relaxed time. I sit and I think and I do a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle, and Mom, you need to fast from that. Okay. They give you a new puzzle every day, and it's a mystery puzzle, and I miss my mystery puzzles. But but I was like, every time I went to sit down, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. What do you want for me? And he just renewed the vision of what he wants to set us all free, set the captives free from the lies that we believe and from the lies that we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. And even at the leadership weekend, he said to me, you are who I say you are. Because we tell ourselves lies, that we're not good enough, we can't do that, I'm not the leader, I'm not this, I'm not that. And he said, I am who you are. Who I say you are. If I say you're a warrior today, you're a warrior today. If I say you're a servant today, you're a servant today. You're a mother, you're a daughter, you're a princess, you're... Mm-hmm. He's got millions of names for us. Yeah. And the other thing he said to me is, I am who I say I am. I am faithful. I am trustworthy. I am powerful. I am mighty. I can raise you from the dead. I am who I say I am to you. So this gives, you walk that out. Every day we walk it out. We're growing. He said, you're growing. Things are hard. You think you forgive, and things come back up, and you bring it back up. And he said, this is walking out forgiveness. This is walking. Mm-hmm. It's growing. We're growing in maturity together.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Gotcha.
Go for it, Chick.
I'm a newcomer here, and it's hard for me to get up in public and talk, but I was like that lady, my heart is just pounding. I have a very sick daughter. The Lord has healed her twice since she was 29 years old. And now we're going through, I call it life or death, but the Lord said to me, and I'm sitting here, and he's telling me, I healed her twice before, and I do have faith, and I love Jesus with all my heart. I lost my wife 2.5 years ago with cancer, and I backslid. I blamed God, but he told me there was a reason why he took her. And I know she's in heaven. I go to a church in St. Regis Falls, and I hurry to get here because I enjoy it. The crowd, the ministers here are great. I just feel so uplifted. This is very unusual for me to testify. I'm like my mother, I'm a quiet Christian. But my heart was pounding, so I had to say something today, because the Lord is going to heal her, and I know he is. We'll know more. She lives in Ellenburg. I'm going to Plattsburgh. We're going to be in the hospital for 3 days. But I do still need your prayers. Thank you.
Shelly, okay, thank you. I was just about to ask. Well, let's take it. We could keep sharing, and this is great. Keep them coming afterwards, after the service. We'll have a fellowship time. And yeah, or if you're getting together with people for lunch or hanging out, a great question that asked one another. Glenn started us off with this at the pastors and wives gathering yesterday. Hey, what has God been doing in your life this week? But if you're gathering together with some friends or family, that's a great question. Hey, share, what's going on? It builds up the person sharing, but also builds up one another, because I don't know about you, but when I hear people sharing, I'm like, oh, I struggle with that too. And God met you there? Okay, God, would you meet me there too? And I can find encouragement and draw strength from the strength you're receiving from Christ. So, testimonies are great to share in-house, but also friends, coworkers, roommates, professors. Hey, let me tell you what God's done in my life. The testimonies are so powerful. So thank you for sharing. Keep them coming. I want to just end this sharing time before family communion with prayer. And I also want to pray for Shelley. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done this week. God, you are mighty. You are powerful. You are king over all. God, we thank you for what you're doing right now. God, we thank you for what you're going to be doing this year. And God, I just want to pray specifically, God, for Shelley now with my brothers and sisters. God, we thank you for how you healed her twice. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask that you would heal her again, Lord, in the power and the name of Jesus. God, you are the healer. You are the great physician. God, we have resurrection power. And Lord, we just pray that your power would be extended once again to Shelley and heal her, Lord. I ask for your comfort and peace over Chick's mind and his heart, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to transition to a time of what we refer to as family